Good afternoon and welcome. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017, at 2 p.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a legal counsel update. Item number one is matters from Commissioner. And so I guess the board is going to hear something from Mr. O'Hare.
Yes, this is the CDBG contract from the state of Oregon. The CDBG contract for the Food and Friends Senior Center. That's the project that's coordinated by RV COG. I met with Pat Foley from RV COG on January 30th, and we went over the contract together. I then sent it to legal for their legal counsel for their review. And now I would like, and they reviewed and approved the language. It's a state of Oregon standard contract through the Business Oregon Infrastructure Finance Authority. And so now I'd like to move it forward to the Wednesday business session for approval.
Great.
There's no cost to the county. This is we're doing the a little bit of the legwork, but all the cost is on RV COG. And the work itself, the project coordinator, the project administrators, are Michael Cavallaro and RV COG folks, Pat Foley for the most part.
Mr. Dion?
I'd say moving forward.
Yeah. Is there, there's different CDBG grant applications because there's an, when we have one under this purpose, you can't have multiple CDBG grants open at the same time?
This is under the housing CDBG grant.
Because we wouldn't want to
have two open in any given year.
Because the other one is the North Valley Industrial Sewer Facility may be qualified for a CDBG opportunity, and we wouldn't want to obligate the county for this. And it's until that issue is put to bed, right? Because you couldn't do a Kirby Water District, anything else requiring infrastructure for, as long as that application was open, as far as I understood.
I think those are two different CDBG grants, though.
This
one under housing, the only one it might compete with would be the housing improvement grant that we get and is coordinated through Jackson County Housing Authority. So that one might compete, but we can have two open at the same time as far as the housing CDBGs.
Well, I think this is the priority, and we've moved this along. I just didn't want it to impact our other grant opportunities.
Right, for the sewer system.
Did you have an opportunity to speak with Mr. Cavallaro about the duration, the time frame of that? Because I know that the talk of it being a year or two or something was...
No, the schedule is actually in the schedule for the work is actually in the grant itself, and it's supposed to begin next month in March of 2017, and...
Well, that's encouraging.
Yes. If I can find the page, I can give you a full scope of the...
I think it was the previous board's expectation, you know, that basically once this funding was secured by the county, that, you know, before the end of the calendar year, give them 10 months to do the construction, renovation, and the facility, and say, now you need to move. Not 2 years.
Right.
Which is what we were being told.
The CDBG itself has a 36-month maximum duration, but that's not what the project itself is scheduled to do.
Okay.
Let me see. Sorry, I wasn't expecting the specific.
This is the one administrative element that was going to be scheduled for this Thursday, so am I right to understand that there's no need for an admin?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So, Commissioner DeYoung, everything else has been satisfied. There isn't a need for another an admin meeting on Thursday. So,
this, according to the paperwork, we've got environmental and design that's going to start in March. Construction, at least on this estimated start date, is November of 17. and completion no later than the summer of 18. So August of 18 for completion of the actual construction work.
That's so 10 months.
Yeah, well, it looks like that would be more like 12, 13 months.
I just meant from the standpoint of when they're supposed to start. If it's starting in November and going through construction until August, that's a long time. That's 10 months for construction.
Yes.
To build that facility in half that time.
Rather than the remodel of the facility.
Okay,
well, that was the original schedule. I don't know if that is.
You're not looking for this Wednesday, you're looking for the next Wednesday.
Not tomorrow, but right. The Wednesday following, yes, correct.
I would like a refinement of that schedule and something from Mr. Cavallaro talking about why the duration of time.
Do you want me to ask him to actually attend on this next Wednesday or just have something in writing?
I won't be there the next Wednesday, WBS. I think before then, like this week, you know, before we make the decision about what the weekly business session looks like for the following week, it'd be really good to have something really clear from him about the schedule. So before I sign off on this, which is basically the county saying we endorse this timeline, go forth and use the money. I think, you know, it's now for hold your peace or...
Are they occupying while they're remodeling?
Not the facility they're planning on moving into. They're occupying the 4-H Extension Service building.
Problem.
And I think through John Pogge's...
If they were occupying the same facility they're remodeling, there'd be some moving around. It probably takes some time, but...
I'll ask the question.
Or...
That might be...
Yeah, or, you know, remodeling the highest priority for the kitchen facility... First, I don't know, but the current proposed schedule is unacceptable to me.
Okay.
There's no urgency associated with that schedule. Commissioner DeYoung and I, on our own, could do a heck of a lot of remodeling in the proposed timeline.
All right, cook.
Right? Neither do I.
Well, I agree. That's probably... Is that building on a flat floor?
No, it's a raised floor.
It's a raised floor, so that makes it even easier. It's not like you're having a soft concrete floor to put in scullery machines or anything of that sort.
Foundation.
I will ask him to get something in writing back to the board, back to me, and I'll forward to the board by this week.
And do they have a legitimate contractor, or are they planning on having volunteer help?
At the price, it looks like a contractor, but I'm not sure.
That will slow a project down, too.
Oh, sure.
Tremendous, because, I can only work on the weekend, so now I'm working just weekends instead of working all week long.
But their budget's $1.2
million? Yeah, well, the grant is $840,000.
Yeah.
But
I think they've raised
a matching of $40,000. So, yeah, $1.2 million.
Yeah. Their total budget is close to $1.2 million for the renovation.
They're even 40% in terms of
40%
of the total project.
Yeah, it's a 60-40 split on CDBG. It's not chump change, you know. So for it to just... I'd like them done... My expectation was before the end of the year. We've been sitting in this project proposal has been going on for 2 years, and I really appreciate all the work that they've done. I think they've got a long-term, great solution. The board has always endorsed that. There's no urgency in a solution which needed to happen 9 years ago, 10 years ago, in this proposed timeline. That's all I want to convey.
Okay.
Concerns over the timeline.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no other concerns with the application?
No.
Great.
No. Everything looks good to me.
So we certainly don't want to be the reason why it's held up. So as soon as he can get back to us, that would be... I think asking for the end of the week is an example of the urgency that we have for moving us forward. So he ought to be able to provide that.
Okay.
great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is forward on to...
Right now, it's in limbo.
Okay.
If he doesn't have an answer that's really adequate, I can't be moving it forward for approval. And I don't know that the rest of the board would really want to make that decision, but it's really up to them. But I won't be there at the Wednesday on the 1st of March.
Yeah,
I think it's the
March
1st. So, okay. No other matters from commissioners? I didn't see the legal stuff. The Borsma lease agreement, how's that?
We sent them a full-on lease. I mean, John had it for signature almost 2 full weeks ago.
Okay.
And you have not heard?
I touched base with
Josh
Lute 2 days later. Mm-hmm. Number one, I hadn't heard back from him. I just wanted to verify that he does, in fact, have the lease.
Yeah.
He does, and he says that they're parsing through it, and he's actually had conversations with Travis in regards to that, but I've not heard back since that point in time.
Okay.
So I know it's in their hands, and they're ferreting through them.
We got all those elements that we were looking for.
I believe we did.
Well, I appreciate the quick turnaround, because you know, we've gotten a final, and then moving it forward, he was wanting to do it this season, and you know that's great. So
you can sign what we sent, and we're ready to go.
Okay, excellent.
Hard work, confirmed.
I have a question, if I might. The other day at one of the meetings, the gentleman stood up to the microphone and he had his concerns about sanctuary counties and sanctuary cities.
Yes.
Where do we stand on that? Are we a sanctuary county? Who signed off on that? Who's the authority for that?
Yep, and so shortly after that, we started the research on that, and the research had been completed by my staff, so I have yet to produce the actual memorandum, which will be destined for the Board of County Commissioners, but I can give you the verbal answer. So, we have no record that anybody at Josephine County affirmatively made a decision regarding a sanctuary status for their jurisdiction. So, appointing a commissioner or a board is not accurate at all. What happened was, to sum it up, and you know, the memorandum I give you will fill in the details here, but essentially, one of our fellow counties in Oregon got sued by an inmate because the jail had turned the inmate over on the full basis of a civil detainer. And as we know, jails keep people being held in criminal cases, and most of our immigration laws are civil, believe it or not. And so that went before the U.S. District Court for Oregon, and the inmate prevailed in that action, and the county ended up having to pay a lot of money. And so by default, and that's based upon an Oregon law, an Oregon statute that the court was looking to from the 1980s. So by default, what's occurred is that it's expected that if other jails within Oregon were to take the same action, were to turn over inmates to the feds on the sole basis of a civil detainer for immigration, then the court would hand down the same decision, and you know taxpayers don't have to pay in each of these cases. And so, just as a matter of de facto policy, the state, every county in the state, saying a sanctuary state is not technically accurate, but every county in the state is a sanctuary county. So is that making sense when I'm describing there what's happened?
So in other words, it's a blanket deal that everybody in the state decided they didn't want to be singled out to be sued in a similar deal, so they've all just signed up?
Yeah. No, nobody signed up.
Nobody signed up.
Nobody signed up.
Okay, all right.
So that's really critical. He was asking the other day about what commissioner or what board made this decision, but our files don't reflect that any board did.
Okay, so we're not a sanctuary county, or we are de facto?
By de facto, yeah. By de facto.
What are the ramifications for us saying we were going to be opting out or something to that effect?
I suspect the ramifications would be, and this is off the top of my head, legal analysis.
Yeah,
that's not what you'd want to make a decision based on. So disclaimer hasn't been issued, but in this conversational posture, I suspect the ramifications would be that any inmate who we turned over on the full basis of a civil detainer would sue the county and would lose.
So it's an issue, it's a law issue rather than we are going to have hordes of Syrian refugees bailing into our county or illegal you know, transients or immigrants or whatever coming in here by the droves, and there's nothing to do about it. I mean, they can't be arrested. They can't do anything. Sanctuary, what's the sanctuary? If a sanctuary county, to me, means that they can be illegal and there's nothing you can do about it.
I think that's not the full analysis. Okay. What generally people are talking about, even you know, President Trump, when he was referring to it, when he started parsing through his words. Okay, so when people are already in jail because they broke law,
okay,
right? It's like, well, we already got them, and then you run them through the database, the federal database, and find out if there's an ICE detainer on them. And if there is, then you become a sanctuary jurisdiction if you decide not to turn them over to ICE on that basis. Okay. But okay, some people actually do get turned over nevertheless because the feds want them for criminal, yeah, the crime.
No,
so big difference there.
Just being,
yes,
illegal.
Big difference other than just being illegal. That is kind of it's a fine point, but it's kind of an important one, which is that, yeah, sanctuary jurisdictions still do and have to turn over a person suspected of federal crimes.
And we don't have any liability if that happens. Because, in other words, that doesn't. They don't come back and say, nah, you can't do that either. Correct?
No, if I understand what you're asking, I mean,
right.
There's no prohibition on that. That's not really
okay.
Part of the...
So that doesn't apply. If the guy's if he's a bad guy, you can still turn him over to ICE and know he can't come back and sue you.
If he's wanted on other federal crimes, like typically what would have happened would be he'd have committed a federal crime sometime in his past, and then skipped out on parole, you know, and so he's been wanted for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, on abscond status, and so they run him through the database, and on that basis that he's wanted, he's on abscond status with the feds, then yeah, you turn him over and off he goes, no problem.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of nuances going on there. But the big takeaway, I guess, is that by sort of de facto order of a U.S. District Court judge, every county in Oregon would be exposed to a very high level of liability by turning over persons solely on the basis of breaking the immigration law.
But I guess the answer to the guy at the microphone is that we've gone back through and there's nobody, there isn't any one person, it's not Mary
yeah.
Benedetti from the 60s and 70s that signed on as a, there isn't anybody in the county organization that ever signed on and said, raise our hand, we're now a sanctuary county. It's more of a blanket de facto.
Yeah, our files and collective memory reflect exactly that.
I think he was looking for somebody to blame for the situation that he heard. And if there's nobody to blame because it never happened.
It never happened.
Officially, it never happened other than as a blanket statement from the court.
Yes. In a case in which another county was embroiled. I think it was like Columbia County or something. I'll get you the details on that here for something.
Okay. Put it in as simple a terms as you can.
Got it.
For me and for the guy at the microphone.
Okay. Is it pretty clear up to this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay. Well, we got the question answered.
Commissioner,
okay.
Great. Where's Pat?
New York, actually. Taking some well-earned relaxation.
So the city got our letter of requesting the designation or authority to designate those properties. And they're moving that forward at their March 1st meeting. So I think that meets with our timeline. And then we need to get back on executive session to present those proposed properties for sale to the board and at a meeting after that or before that. I think we have that timeline figured out when you're going to bring it to the board for a discussion.
Yeah, I believe the timeline is once the city approves us doing a designation to parks, then we immediately have to post in the paper for 2 weeks. After it's run for 2 weeks, then we come before the board saying we've fulfilled this function and yes, we need these.
This is a portion of the timeline that allows the board to say these are the properties that we want to move forward for publication as those two. Does that make sense?
Yes, but the first issue has to come first, and that is
okay.
The city's allowing us to designate.
Okay. Does that make sense, Mr. DM?
Not really, but I'm going to wag my
head. We're moving it forward, and you will have a final say.
Yeah.
There's no...
This is just a stepping stone with the city. Yes. Once we get that out of the way, then it'll come back.
The one thing that's really important is you can always pull a property from a sale right up until the day, you know, before the sale.
Do we have a date for the sale yet?
I think it's 25th
of April.
Yeah, okay. 25th of April. You can't put one on that misses this very, very elongated timeline.
Right.
If you miss it out in the beginning, well, you're going to have to go in.
You can always pull if you can't add to it, because it wouldn't have been noticed for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty,
okay.
It's amazingly structured from what you got to do. It's not easy. So I think that's pretty much all I had that was an executive session stuff. So, yeah, if no objection, we'll meet. Start that deal out. So the Grosvenor County Board of Commissioners will meet in executive session at 2:20. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. No decision may be made in executive session. Oh, the issues of executive session are items 2A, planning enforcement cases under ORS 192.660.2H. Item B is planning enforcement, 1400 Rock Creek Road, ORS 192.660.2H. Item number C is County Real Property, 3344 Camp Joy Road, ORS 192.602E and H. And item D is emergency operations plan under ORS 192.660.2F and ORS 192.501, 18 and 23. Items 18 and 23. So no decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, the board will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. No news media present, so we'll turn the call off.